Hopefully that'll get us fixed up with the microphone. Smokey the Cat. Smokey the Cat makes the Guinness Book of World Records for the loudest purr. It's official. Smokey the Cat has roared her way into the Guinness Book of World Records, having achieved the loudest purr by a domestic cat. Guinness said that the gray and white tabby earned her place with a record-setting 67.7 decibels. In a video on the cat's website, the 12-year-old ordinary-sized feline purrs with a sound akin to the cooing of an angry dove. That must be some angry dove. Smokey first rose to prominence in February when her owner, Ruth Adams, ran a local competition for the most powerful purr. A community college recorded the purr and submitted it to Guinness. Guinness said the loudest animal sounds are the low-frequency pulses made by blue whales and fin whales when they communicate with each other. That sound reaches about 188 dB. Wow, 188 decibels. By comparison, a lawnmower is about 90 decibels. So this cat is purring at 67.7 decibels. So now my wife can truthfully say, yes, when you snore, you purr like a cat. Alrighty. Well, truth is stranger than fiction, and that has become a cliche. And I believe it was Mark Twain that put it this way: truth is stranger than fiction, but it is because fiction is obligated to stick to the possibilities. Truth isn't. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Kings 5, 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to read the passage of Scripture here. Again, most people are familiar with it. Now, Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter has come unto thee, behold, I have therefore sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send to me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me, and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers in Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Now, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a chance to be here this morning once again, to have the Bible opened up and to have you speak to us from the Word of God. I do pray that you would deal with each and every individual here in this congregation this morning. And Father, most importantly, I pray that if there's somebody here who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that maybe, Father, you can get to their hearts and show them their need for salvation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we go back to 2 Kings, and we read the story of Naaman the leper. And again, a very familiar story. Kids learn about it in Sunday school, and we read about it, and it seems to come up in preaching quite often because there's just some amazing things about it. And I know most of you are very familiar with the story. But it's good to be reminded every now and then that, brethren, the Lord does things oftentimes in a strange way. I've titled a message this morning, Some Things Are Just Strange. Amen? You get out there in the world and you see things happening, like I said earlier, truth is stranger than fiction. There's just some, if you have ever read the Darwin Awards or looked up, you know, News of the Weird or some of the different things like that that you can run across out there, brethren, you can't make some of that stuff up. I mean, we as human beings, you know, we do some pretty foolish things in this life, and you can't make some of those things up. Now, I don't know what, I don't know what it is you're experiencing here this morning or what troubles you may have or even what brought you into church this morning, but I'd like to take a little bit of time, and it won't be too long. I'd like to take a little bit of time this morning and just preach for a little while on putting your faith in God, especially when it seems like you're facing something impossible. And as I said, I titled this message this morning, Some Things Are Just Strange. Some things are just strange. Now, here in 2 Kings chapter 5, we have Naaman the leper. Most of you know what leprosy are. Most of you know what leprosy is. And there was at that time, as far as I know, there's still not a cure for leprosy. I don't know if they've come up with some newfangled drug that has come out recently, but there was no cure for leprosy. And so Naaman's a mighty man, and he's captain of the host of the king of Syria, general of the army, and he's a pretty renowned fella and quite the military man. Again, wasn't intentional, but it kind of goes along the theme of Memorial Day and, you know, all that our sailors and soldiers and Marines and Coast Guard folks have done for us in this country and keeping us safe, and airmen as well. But I do appreciate their sacrifice. But Naaman was a leper. And Naaman gets out, and he gets this word through this little maid from Israel who is a slave girl, and he hears about the prophet in Israel who can cure him of leprosy. So the king of Syria sends over and sends Naaman to Israel, and of course the king of Israel is worried about it because he's afraid that the king of Syria is just trying to pick a fight with him. And Naaman gets over there, and Naaman gets up, and Elijah doesn't even come out and talk to him, first off. He sends out a little servant, and he tells Naaman, go wash 7 times in the River Jordan. And as you all know, folks, that's kind of a strange thing to do. I mean, why would washing 7 times in the River Jordan have anything at all to do with getting cured of this leprosy, which is an incurable disease? And Naaman walks away from that thing, and folks, he's angry. He's angry. Hey, listen, let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a situation where you've gotten angry because things didn't go the way that you wanted them to go? Yeah. Everybody should say amen to that one. If I don't hear some more amens, we'll just have an altar call right now because I know we're all liars. But, you ever been angry because things just didn't go the way that you thought they should go? You ever been to the point where something was going on in your life and you were facing a situation and, troubles were standing right there in front of you and you had hopes. You had hopes of finding a solution and an answer, and what appeared to be someone told you was the answer just seemed completely and totally absurd, and you thought to yourself, oh, there is absolutely no way. Well, that's where Naaman was. That's where Naaman was. And folks, what I wanted to remind you of this morning and what I wanted to bring to your attention is simply this. Guys, the Lord will often use strange things to get your attention and provide to you answers. And sometimes we don't see him coming. So Naaman's here, and as you well know, Naaman's faced with a dilemma. Naaman's faced with, do I believe this bozo who just told me to go wash 7 times and poof, I'd be cured? Didn't even have the common courtesy to come out and talk to me himself. Or do I just give up on things and head back to Syria and wait for the next battle, and maybe I'll die in battle and everything will be grand then. Like I said, you ever been there? You ever been up against the wall in a decision or in a situation in life where there just seems to be no answer? You've tried everything you could try, and you had hopes of finding a solution, but it just didn't seem to come to fruition? Hey, brethren, that's a good place to be sometimes. You say, Brother Grissom, no, it's not. I hate being there. It's devastating. It's emotionally draining. It's depressing. Everything in the world can just go south and there's no answers. And the truth of the matter is, that's very correct. It just might. But you know, here in this passage, Naaman is faced with this situation, and Naaman has to come face to face with this simple fact. God will often do something strange to break your pride. A lot of times God will let you go through a situation, or God will put you in the midst of a situation, or throw some troubles your way that you have to deal with, and He'll stick you in there and it'll look like it is utterly and completely hopeless, and like there's no way you could possibly get out. There is no answer. And then somebody will come along, and the Lord will send somebody along and maybe give you a solution. Maybe it'll come from your Bible reading. Maybe it'll come from prayer. Maybe it'll come from something you hear in preaching or something along the way. And you'll be left like Naaman was, facing the decision of, do I follow what I just heard, or is that just nothing but a bunch of rubbish? And you know, the tendency is to get angry and get mad and just be bitter and, God never does anything for me, and I prayed about this 47,000 times and nothing happened. Hey, listen, a lot of times God will come and address you in something that is strange. And a lot of times He does it that way because He needs to break your pride. He needs to break your pride. And you know, we as men, we think we're pretty smart. We think we've got a handle on life, and we think we can control our own destiny. And about the time that something, you know, we foresee is going to be grand and glorious, and we get it all planned out and all laid out, things just kind of don't seem to work out the way that you intentioned. There was a man that lived in California. His name was Bill Helco, and he was thrilled, absolutely thrilled, because he had the winning lottery numbers for the local lottery, and the price, the lottery was for $412,000. He hit it. He had the right numbers. So Bill decided to go out and celebrate. He went out, he celebrated, and bought a brand new Porsche, and booked a family vacation, took his wife and a whole bunch of friends out to a very expensive restaurant out in Hollywood, California, and he was just absolutely thrilled because he thought he had the answers to all his troubles. So he went into the lottery office to pick up his winnings, and he found one little thing that he hadn't counted on. 9,097 other people had also picked and won first prize, and his share of the lottery was $45. You see, brethren, the Lord sometimes will take you down a path and put you in a situation in life where you think you got the answers, you think you got things all figured out. And we hear this time and time again in preaching, but you know what? It's true, because we keep falling into the same trap. And so the Lord takes Naaman, and Naaman hears about this prophet in Israel that's going to cure him of his leprosy. Well, make no mistake about it, the God of Israel is a pretty famous character back in the Old Testament. So I bet on the way over there, Naaman is probably sitting there thinking, yes, I've got this thing. I've got it. This leprosy is going to be gone by tomorrow. This prophet's going to come out. He's going to wave his hand over me, slap me on the forehead, hit me with a white jacket. Everything's going to be grand, right? And Naaman's probably thinking about all the different possibilities and all the different ways that he can have his issues resolved as he heads over to see this prophet in Israel. The problem is, he gets over there and none of it happens the way he anticipated. It wasn't what he thought. He gets over there and he's faced with the answer, and the answer to him seems so utterly absurd and so disappointing that he gets angry and he turns around and leaves. I mean, that's like us standing up here and telling the teenagers, hey guys, here's what you gotta watch when you grow up. Here's the problem areas. Here's what you need to do, you know, succeed in life. And here's, as you're looking for a wife or a husband or a job or a career or whatever. And they get up there and they have all these ideas in their mind of how it's gonna go. And then reality sets in. And they face life for real. And it doesn't look anything like what they anticipated. Well, that's where Naaman was. That's where Naaman was. And I tell you what, folks, a lot of times the Lord will have to bring you to a place like that because He'll need to break your pride. Because see, we think we got it all covered. We think we've got it all figured out, and it just doesn't happen that way. I mean, several sermons could be preached on pride and have been in the past, and I'm sure will be in the future. But on this in this case, you know, most of the time we're just stuck on our own ideas. And a lot of times, our own ideas are not all that great. We jump in both feet without looking, and things just don't work out the way that we anticipated. Dennis Newton was on trial for armed robbery of a convenience store in the district court, and then he fired his lawyer. And the assistant district attorney, Larry Jones, said that Newton was doing a fair job of representing and defending himself until the store manager testified that Newton was the robber. At that point, Newton jumped up and accused the woman of lying and then said, "I should have blown your head off." The defendant paused and then quickly added, "If I had been the one that was there." It took the jury 20 minutes to convict Newton and recommended a 30-year sentence for him. Hey, listen, sometimes, folks, we, like I said, we think we've got things all well under control. And we jump. And we jump into, we jump into the middle of some things that Lord never really intended us to be there, but we got ourselves there anyway. and the truth of the matter is, guys, sometimes fact is stranger than fiction. I mean, who would imagine somebody standing up in the courtroom and doing that? But it is. It's fact. Listen, you'll have to get to the point in this life where you place your trust in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, despite what things look like on the outside. You'll just have to, because it may seem strange. To Naaman, he looked at that thing and he said, "There's no stinking way I'm going to go down there and wash in that river." And he turned around and headed off. And he almost missed getting cured. Fortunately, someone had the sense to get to him. One of his servants had the sense to get to him and said, "Hey, Naaman, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it?" So he stumbles on back, and you know the story. "Yeah, fine, I'll just try this, right? I'll give it a shot, see what happens. But if it doesn't work, you're a dead man." That's not in the text. That's in my version. But but folks, listen, the Lord will take you to a place where you either think you have the answer and then He'll destroy it, or where you think there's absolutely no answer and then He'll provide an answer that seems utterly ludicrous. That's His mode of operation. He likes doing that. See, the Lord likes getting us to a place where we have to realize it's Him, not us. And He's got all kinds of neat little tricks up His sleeve to do that, but the bottom line is that He's got to make you and I realize it's Him, not us. It's Him, not us. Listen, you'll have to take God's word for it, and you'll have to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ despite not understanding everything about Him. You'll be tempted to say, what's the use? Why even bother? Why should I pursue this Christian thing? They're all a bunch of fanatics and weirdos anyway. Why should I? Listen, you'll be faced with that decision. And you'll have to decide, are you going to put your faith and your trust in God? And when you make that decision, remember this one thing. Remember, the Lord will throw you in a position where the answer to you is going to seem impossible and strange and weird. And you're going to have to rely not on your own brains and your own intellect and your own wit and your own reason. You're going to have to rely on that book, on what that book says, and decide whether you believe it or not. And there's no way around it. There's just no way around it. Oftentimes, things are not what they appear to be on the surface. Little Johnny was sitting in the classroom one day, and the new teacher was trying to make use of her psychology course. Like I said, we all think we're smart. We always wind up getting ourselves in trouble when we start thinking that. But his teacher was trying to make use of her new psychology course, and she started her class by saying, everyone who thinks they're stupid, stand up. A few seconds go by and nothing happens, and a few more seconds go by and Johnny stood up. And the teacher said, do you think you're stupid, little Johnny? Johnny answered, no, ma'am, but I hate to see you standing there all by yourself. See, the Lord likes doing things like that. The Lord likes doing things like that just so that we realize, oh, I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. Amen? And I tell you what, God will do something strange in your life to break you of your pride. And God will do something strange in your life to boast of His power. Turn to Genesis 11 very quickly. Genesis 11. Genesis 11, again, a familiar passage of story of or familiar passage of scripture. It's about the Tower of Babel, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. I tell you, the Lord just does some things that are strange. God will often do something strange. Men get together, think they have a great plan, they concoct this thing to build this tower up to heaven, and the Lord goes down, looks at it. Who would have imagined that the solution would be change the language so they can't communicate with one another? I mean, that's just funny. That's just funny. You wonder, how does the Lord deal with problems? How does the Lord deal with you and with me in the situations that we get ourselves into? Listen, the Lord will come down in our lives, and listen, He will do something completely and utterly unexpected to get our attention. And a lot of times we don't recognize that it's from the Lord, and that's where we go wrong. But a lot of times, the Lord will come down in our lives, and He will throw a monkey wrench in the middle of things. And brethren, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you won't know where it came from. And when that happens to you, what I recommend is that you do this: you sit back, and you look at what's going on, and you look at your life, and you go to the God up in heaven, and you say, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? Because this is just so weird that there must be somebody behind it. Brethren, the Lord will throw strange things in your life to break your pride. The Lord will throw strange things in your life to boast of His power. He will throw something in your life that nobody could have ever done. And you'll have to face the fact God must have had a hand in working this out, because I couldn't have. The Lord likes to show who He is and what He's all about. Now, he's not going to do it at your whim and at your will, and he's not going to be, you know, your Santa Claus and write the checks that you want, but the Lord will do things in your life that could have happened no other way. And you'll be forced to give credit to God. Sometimes he does things strange. In Matthew 14, Peter's out there, or the Lord's out there walking across the sea, and Peter and the disciples are in the boat, and the Lord looks over at Peter and says, okay, Peter, come on out to me. Peter's sitting there faced with that decision. You guys know the story. Listen, he's got to step out in the water. Now, when I step out in the water, I like tanks on my back, hoses, a regulator in my mouth. Things are grand, okay? But Peter has to step out in the waves and the, you know, in the storm, and he has to take out and take that step. Why? Because the Lord wanted to show to Peter, hey, listen, I can do this. And that was a strange thing. People don't walk on water. That's a strange thing. The Lord will do something strange in your life to break your pride, but the Lord will do something strange in your life also to show his power, to show you and convince you and let you see and realize this whole Christianity thing, this Jesus Christ of Nazareth that hung on the cross to die for your sins and for my sins is real, is true, and he'll show you something, and you'll see God's hand move. Like I said, you don't get to call the shots. You don't get to ask for a specific sign. But if you look, you'll see the mighty hand of God. Take a look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. Take a look at 2 Kings chapter 4. Sometimes the things the Lord asks are just really strange. Peter, step out of that boat into the lake. Yeah, right, Lord. Okay, here I come. And now 2 Kings chapter 4, look down at verse 32 to give you a quick rundown on this so we don't run too long. So the woman of Shunem, she had a son, loved her son very much. Her son wound up dying. She's upset, goes to the prophet and Elisha, and you know, basically says, why'd you give me a son if he's only going to kill him? So take a look down in verse 32. So Elisha comes back, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in there, therefore, and shut the door upon the twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands and stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Hey, listen, who would have imagined that would be the way to raise this young child from the dead? I mean, our natural inclination, our natural thought would be go over, lay your hand on him, or grab his hand, pick him up, or something like that. But who would have thought? I was wondering, what's Elisha thinking? You want me to do what? How's that going to help? You know? What? It just doesn't make any sense. It's. I mean, our little pea brains don't comprehend. Why is that going to work? I don't get it. Lord, are you sure I heard you right? Hey, brethren, the Lord does strange things. And you won't always see the answer to your problems as clearly as you would like. The Lord will give you the answer. But too often, because it's a little strange or it doesn't quite click with what we have envisioned for an answer, we dismiss what the Lord's trying to do and go with our own vision. That's how we make a mess of our lives. That's how we make a mess of our lives. Who? I mean, like I said, imagine being Elisha here. Lord, I'm supposed to do what? Naaman. What? You want me to go wash in that river? Peter, in the boat. You want me to step in that water? Listen, the Lord will take you, and do something strange, and you'll be forced to make a decision as to whether you're going to follow what he said or do what you have envisioned in your own mind as the right answer. It happens over and over and over again. So the Lord will do something strange to break your pride. The Lord will do something strange in your life to boast of His power. And you'll be forced to obey the Lord, irregardless of what the outward appearance seems like. You got trouble, you go, you get counsel, you go to the Bible, you know what the right thing to do is. You look at it, you analyze the situation, and you think, I know that's maybe the right answer in some situations, but in my situation, that's not going to work because. And inevitably, you just make a bigger mess. You just make a bigger mess. Listen, we're often too ashamed to do something strange. A lot of times, being obedient to God seems strange. I'm going to use I'll use my daughter as an example. She's getting ready to get married, right? And so she's going to different stores and wedding gowns and I don't know, all these different places that my wife are taking her to. And she'd go into these different registries and talk to people, and they find out that, you know, Ian is in Arizona and she's still here. Every single one of them look at her like she's absolutely ludicrous and nuts. Aren't you going to Arizona to be with him? Well, we're not married yet. Yeah, but that doesn't matter. Hey, listen, sometimes the Lord will ask you to do something that will make you seem strange. And you'll have to stand up and you'll have to be strange. You'll have to be strange. Listen, 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." You see, part of the reason that we often miss what God's trying to do is because God will do things that seem a little strange to the world. And you and I are left in the middle. Naaman's left in the middle. Do I do what he said or do it my own way? Peter's left in the middle. Do I step out or not? Right? And you'll be right there in the middle too. You'll be asked to do something that seems strange. And you'll have to wrestle with it and struggle with it. And you'll have to decide in your heart, hopefully from that book, whether what you're doing is of God or not. And the devil will try to use shame to convince you not to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll try to convince you that you're some strange wacko and, you know, that you and Harold Camping listen to the same radio programs and that you're one of those weird fanatics. Listen, the Lord's coming back one of these days, irregardless of what Harold Camping says. And the Lord will try to, the devil will try to put on you the fact that, you know, that you're one of those weirdos and fanatics, and he'll try to shame you into not following what God wants you to do. And when that happens, don't forget, the Lord deals with us a lot of times in strange ways. It's not uncommon. It's not uncommon. So be ready and be prepared. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of being a Christian. Don't ever be ashamed of being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever be ashamed to get out there like Naaman did. Even though he was mad and didn't understand everything, he finally gets out there and goes down to the River Jordan and washes himself 7 times. And when he came up that 7th time, his hands and his body, his flesh, was clean. It worked. He didn't understand how. Don't ever be ashamed, like Peter, taking that step off of that boat. Don't ever be ashamed to do that. Don't ever be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed. You got Elijah, that prophet, sitting there, and the Lord tells him, go in and, you know, put your hands on his hand, put your eyes on his eyes, and do what? Well, okay, Lord, you said it. Sometimes the Lord will ask you to do something strange. And you'll have to struggle with being ashamed. I know, Brother Aaron, you're getting ready to go into Coast Guard, right? When I joined the Marine Corps and went in the Marine Corps, I've told this story before, but just to kind of encourage you along the way too. When I joined the Marine Corps, I don't even know how it happened. I was saved already. I wasn't really in church a whole lot at the time. I mean, I was, you know, would go once in a while. You know, my fiance at the time wanted me to go all the time, but, you know, there was baseball, there was wrestling, there was karate, there's other things at the time seemed more important. Well, I got into Marine Corps and got into boot camp, and I don't even remember how this worked out. It's just, the Lord's amazing. If you trust Him, the Lord's just good. I wound up being a lay leader in boot camp. What does that mean? That means on Sunday morning when everybody else is up watching TV as they're shining their brass and polishing their shoes, I got to get dressed and march the guys that wanted to go to service, to the Protestant service, to the Protestant chapel, so we could have church service on Sunday morning during boot camp. And like I said, I don't even remember how I wound up in that position, but I did. So here I was on Sunday morning marching these Marines down, which meant we only got about half the time that everybody else did to shine our shoes and brass and do our laundry when we got back on Sunday morning, because that was our free time. Laundry, shining brass, shining boots, cleaning our rifle. That was free time, amen? So I got back, and I didn't think anything of it. We got out on, doing Camp Pendleton, and we're doing our little field exercises, and the drill instructors are yelling for, you know, lay leaders. I got to get out there and, you know, pray for the whole company before meals, you know, before the MREs and the stuff that we used to eat. Actually, it wasn't MREs back then, but and I didn't think anything of it. It was just, okay. Come graduation time, I wound up getting meritoriously promoted because I had a leadership position and apparently did it well enough that they gave me a promotion out of the deal. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that would happen. The Lord sometimes works in strange ways. But I mean, I look back, you know, you're getting ready to go in the military. I look back in military career in those early years. Listen, everything that happened to me along that way, the Lord had His hand in and took care of me and protected me. Sometimes it was kind of strange. All right, so one more thing here, and then we'll wrap things up in just a minute. But the Lord sometimes will have to do things strange to bring about provision for you. Not only will He have to break your pride, not only does the Lord do strange things sometimes just to boast His power, but sometimes the Lord will have to do something strange in your life just to bring about provision. And we don't have a lot of time. Well, let's go back to it. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Take a look down at verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go up and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So here you have the woman of Zarephath. She has her son, and they're poor, destitute. They have absolutely nothing left. You know the story. And she's about ready to go make her last meal, and her son die after that of starvation. And here comes Elijah along, and he says, "Hey, don't make that for you and your son. Make it for me. Oh, and by the way, if you make it for me, you can just keep pouring it out and just keep eating out of it, and you'll never run out." Seems kind of strange, but it worked. You stand up here, or you sit there, and you listen to people, you know, stand up here in the pulpit and open up the Bible, and you read the Bible, and you see something in there where the Lord is asking something of you and requiring something of you, or wants you to start doing something or stop doing something, and you look at it and you go, "I don't know." And the Lord says in the background, in the back of your head, you go, "The Lord will take care of you if you do it. The Lord will take care of you if you do it." And you go, "I don't know. That's a big step. Trust me, the Lord will take care of you if you do it." And you wrestle with that thing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know what? The Lord will take care of you if you do it. The Lord knows what you need better than you do. Listen, the Lord's not out there to make your life miserable. The Lord knows what you need better than you do. And if you get to the place where you can trust in Him instead of yourself, brethren, the Lord will take care of you. Let's, one final place here. Let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. God will do something strange. John chapter 3, and again, you know the passage. John chapter 3, verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus saith unto him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.'" Let me ask you this in closing. Jesus Christ there told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You ever been born again? See, there's all kinds of ways that the Lord makes provision for us and takes care of us and blesses us. And a lot of times, many of those ways can seem awful strange when you hear them. But let me ask you this. Have you ever been born again? A lot of people look at that and they go, "Born again? Those born again Christians are fanatics. They're weird. They're strange. They're nuts. I don't want anything to do with that." Let me remind you, the Lord Jesus Christ does things in a strange manner. You say, "Being born again doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, I'm with Nicodemus. How can a man be born when he is old? It doesn't make any sense." Neither did washing seven times in the River Jordan. Neither did taking the step out of that boat. And neither did putting your hands on the kid's hands, your eyes on his eyes. It made no sense. God will do something strange to bring about provision. You say, "I've only got a little bit of oil left and a little bit of meal, and I'm going to bake it, and me and my son are going to die." Don't worry about it. Make me a cake first, and it won't run out. Doesn't make any sense. In closing, I just ask you this. You ever been born again? You say, "It doesn't make any sense." Some things about it, you're right, very strange. But I tell you what, when you get to the place where you can go to that book and you can look at your God and say, "Lord, I don't care how strange it seems. If that's what you said, it's right. If that's what you said, it's right. I may not understand it, but if that's what you said, it's right." You say, why would God choose to send His Son, down to the earth to take on the form of a man, only to grow up and then to be crucified on a cross by sinful men to pay for my sins and for your sins. It's kind of a strange way to take care of the sin problem. I could think of a better way. I mean, not better. I could think of a different way. If I were God, I would do it differently. But I'm not God. Neither are you. You don't decide how he gets to do what he wants to do. And he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And in closing, I'll just wrap things up and just tell you here, folks, sometimes things that God does are strange. And whether you're a Christian trying to navigate through life and understand what God is doing in your life, or whether you're sitting here this morning and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm just here to tell you this morning, sometimes what the Lord is trying to do with you will seem strange in your eyes. And you're going to have to get over your pride. You're going to have to realize that God will show His power. And you're going to have to realize that God will provide for you the things that you need, but a lot of times, to you, they'll seem strange. And you're going to have to get over that and do it God's way. Amen? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we're reminded of what a mighty and a holy God you are. And the truth of the matter is, there's not a single one of us here that understands how you work in people's lives. Father, there are so many things in the Bible and in men's lives that you've done that to mere mortals are unexplainable. We don't comprehend how or why. But Lord, I know this. I know that you're God, and I know that you choose the way that you interact with mankind. Father, if there's somebody here this morning who's going through struggles or trials, maybe they've had some problems in their lives that they have not been able to figure out the solution for. Father, I pray that you would open their eyes and help them to see that though what they're experiencing may be very traumatic, Father, sometimes the answer, to them at least, may seem strange. They may not think it's going to work. But if they could just learn to trust in you, Father, it always works. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe they're lost and on their way to hell. And to them it seems strange that they should be born again. Not even exactly sure what that means. I would just ask, Father, that you deal with their hearts and show them that, Father, though it may be strange, it's the right thing to do. And as we close in prayer here and have a hymn of invitation, Father, I pray that you deal with the hearts of the people. If there's somebody here that is lost, even if they don't understand what it's all about, I pray that they would come down the aisle. I'll find a man or a woman to take them aside privately and explain and answer any questions that they may have about it. But Father, please don't let the fact that something is strange stop your people from taking action. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Help me with the number.
Yeah, 204. Let's all stand. We'll open our hymnals, number 204. And again, the invitation's open. If you've never been born again, though it may seem strange, I implore you, please, come down the aisle. At least give us a chance to answer some questions about it. Number 204. right, folks, amen. You can be dismissed. We'll see you back here 6 o'clock. Dismissed.